We meet with a sense of anticipation and a sense of excitement that God will move powerfully in the lives of those who seek him this evening. And we have an expectation in our hearts that if we step out in faith, God is faithful and just. I'm going to read Psalm 121, which I was given about 2 minutes ago. But I just thought, oh, that's such a wonderful, yes, I love it. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. And so welcome to each and every one of you this evening. To visitors, welcome. And to Adrian, particular welcome. This is your first healing service tonight. Wow. Okay. Adrian's going to talk to us in a little while. I was sort of been bringing this before the Lord over the last sort of couple of days at odd moments, and I know we used to sort of have some sort of, you know, sort of little sort of somebody would read something from a book or something. I'm not terribly poetic, and I just thought, you know, I think the biggest testimony for me is in those who've got something to testify about. So if anybody's got anything that they feel that God has done for them in terms of healing, anything really, that they'd care to share, then do feel free to come out and share it. I notice there isn't a stampede. God does lots of things for us, and often we don't know what they are or fully understand how they work out in our lives. And sometimes they're things that perhaps we don't want to share because we feel that that wouldn't be helpful, or perhaps it's just something that we're still working through at this particular moment in time. So that's okay. That's fine. And God knows that. Okay, so I think we're in for a time of worship, Becky and the worship group, which consists mainly of tailors this evening. Thank you, Stuart.
I thank you, my God, for answers to prayer. You are my Father with so much love and care. I thank you that I've been so safe in your arms, full of love and healing. Your embrace soothes and calms. I thank you, my Saviour, when I'm in that dark place, your Spirit rescues me. That's such amazing grace. I worship, praise and thank you, my Father and my Saviour, for all your blessings and all your gifts that have brought my life such favour.
Praying about this, the service this evening, the Lord spoke to me about that place of healing which followed the ministry of Jesus, and it followed his footsteps where he trod healing. And while we were praying in the tower this evening, I very much felt we were, you know, sort of, you know, praying for the ground that we're standing on, and that sort of lined up with the picture of where Jesus was at. He was there present, and healing took place. It was present in him. But beyond that, after his glorious resurrection, the disciples were waiting in the upper room, and they were presumably chatting to one another about you know, what had taken place and all that they'd seen and heard, and they were waiting for this Spirit to come at Pentecost. Sounds as if the Spirit's coming now, doesn't it, with the water boiler. I always think that. But that place of the upper room was the start of what I always think as being the real ministry that Jesus gave us through the Holy Spirit. And that's where the church grew from. Can you imagine? And we were talking about this the other day, you know, this motley crew of disciples, you know, where do we go from here, you know? You know, and that's where the church was coming from, my word. And glory to God that he can work through the things like me, the people he's put into position, who's put into place, he can work through us, but we've got to be able to speak that out. And we've got to speak healing into the lives of those around us. And whether you're here for healing tonight, whether you're ministering, whether we all need healing of some sort. None of us have reached that point yet. We all need healing. Don't doubt that. You know, we should all be praying for one another this evening like crazy to seek God through healing. But sending that motley crew out into the world. And the story of Acts is one of complete amazement. When we read it, it's amazing that the disciples could step out and do some of the works that we read about. It's awesome. And God is carrying that work on today. If it had all stopped at the last verse, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't, this building wouldn't be here today. But it didn't. It kept on going. And why did it keep on going? Because we keep on receiving. And we keep allowing God to do that in us. And through faith, we receive. And if we haven't got the faith to receive, well, you know, do we actually receive? I ask that as a question, not as giving an answer. But I think that if God's got it for us tonight, then we should open our hands and say, thank you, God. Praise you, Lord, because I'm receiving from you this evening. And, you know, as we come to prayer later on, let's do it in a way in which we're going to inspect. And I know Sam was preaching about expecting the unexpected on Christmas Day, but, you know, let's be in expectation of receiving this evening. Adrian.
Thank you. The Lord is here tonight, isn't he? A real lovely sense of the presence of God, which is just great. So thank you, Becky and Katrina and Jessica and Stuart, for leading us in worship. That was wonderful. Thank you, Holly and Vivian and Julie and Caroline, Ian, Pauline, Elsie, Lorna, Margaret, Vivian, Charles, Sue, David, Andrew, Fiona, Tim, Sally, Patrick, Tom and Terry as well. It never ceases being fun. But thank you for coming. I think you've come expectantly tonight. That is the sense. You've brought the blessing of God with you. We're in the throne room of God, and you are the saints clothed in white, crowns on your heads, children of the King, ready to receive from him. And that is just wonderful to come into that atmosphere that's dripping with that faith and that expectancy. So really good stuff. I'm going to read a very familiar account from the book of Acts. In that start of the church, as Tom was talking about, from chapter 3 of the book of Acts. It's on 1094 if you want to follow it. You'll know it off by heart, though, anyway, I should think. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. It's wonderful. He asked for arms, and God gave him legs. That's wonderful. What I have, I give you. So we're going to be thinking, as I speak a bit later, is that now, is that soon? That's now. Okay. That's straight now. Brilliant. We're going to be thinking about what we have to offer. But let's just pray. Say, Father God, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the faith and the expectancy in the hearts of your people. Thank you for the power of your Spirit to work wonders still today. Thank you that we have such resources just because of your gracious gift. And this evening, as we sense you close, we do pray that we would be able to tap into those resources and experience you in a fresh way. Open our hearts and minds as we spend these moments thinking about what it's realistic to expect from you, maybe. About how all this fits together. About what you've shown. Inspire us, encourage us, motivate us, bless us as we seek your face. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, the whole area of healing, you can't sort of ignore it, really. You can't avoid it. If you read the Bible, it's there. It's very much a part of what we do as the church of God. You read the Gospels, about a third of the Gospels. Yeah, okay, Holly. It's a bit of a little frog in your throat. That's okay. Oh, dear. It's there in the Gospels. A third of the Gospels, we have Jesus healing people. A third of the Gospels. That's a lot of space that Jesus is doing this stuff. And a lot of the ways in which he heals is through casting out demons. Really interesting. It's there, and it's not just there in the Gospels. Throughout the Old Testament narratives, healing, people get healed. It's just a part of what God does. And as he reveals himself to us, he is the God who heals. It's very important to understand how we enter that, you know, what to expect. In fact, there's the occasion where Jesus says to his followers, "Freely you have received, freely you must give." Do you know that one? And the context of that is, he's just said to them, "Go into all the towns, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give." Do you see the context? The implications are that the disciples, they'd had the good news preached to them, so they should preach it to others. They'd been healed, so they should go and heal others in the name of Jesus. They'd had demons cast out of them, so they should go and cast demons out of others. It's wonderful, isn't it? They'd received, they'd experienced, and so they knew when they had confidence, when they were going to do it, they'd seen Jesus do it, they'd experienced the healing and the deliverance and the good news for themselves. And so they were inspired and motivated to share it with others. And that is still true. So when Peter comes, he knows. He knows full well. Here's someone, "Silver and gold I don't have, but I can see that you've got a problem with your legs. So what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And the power of the Holy Spirit was there, the gift of faith was there. Peter knew from God that this was going to work, and so he helped the man to his feet in faith. What assurance. It's wonderful. When the Lord gives that faith, it's a gift, actually, of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of James, when he says, if any of you is sick, call the elders, they'll anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will rise up the one who is sick. And it's really important. The prayer of faith is what raises up the one who is sick. And God gives the faith to us as we pray. And you may have experienced that when you're praying for someone and you just know this is going to work. And when God gives that faith, the Holy Spirit comes through. So the resources we have, you know, what do we bring to the table? It's such a multifaceted ministry. When Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, that's right, 1 Corinthians 12, he lists 9 different gifts: the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of wisdom. What else is there? Gift of faith, gift of administration. Is that in there? I think so. Gift of, tongues, speaking in other languages, interpreting other languages. And then when it says healing, what does it say? The gifts. It's the only one where he says gifts, plural, of healings, plural. Really interesting. All the others, the gift of this, the gift of that, singular, 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 singular. When it comes to healing, plural, plural. The gifts of healings. There is a variety and a diversity. The one Spirit giving through his people to the church this variety of healings. It comes in all sorts of ways. And yet the Holy Spirit working his wonders, really. So what does this look like? When I was very young, when I was really young, like 0, I was taken to the local Roman Catholic Church and I had some water splashed on me. It was the only time that I ever went to the Roman Catholic Church. My mum was Italian. She moved from Italy when she was 13, settled in Wales and then Northampton and then there, you know. So it was just a traditional thing. It was what was done. My uncles all turned up looking kind of like the mafiosa. You know, got a picture of them, all the car doors open at the same time, and they get out with their sunglasses on. You know, they've got that photo of them standing outside of this sort of 1970s car, you know, with the shade. They really did look a bit like that. But that was the occasion. And then when I was 4, something else happened. No, when I was 2. When I was 2, something else happened. God invaded our family life, really. And my mum, who is suffering with migraines, had a couple of migraines lately. It's sort of a genetic thing, really. We can pray for that if you like. But my mum went seeking healing for migraines. She didn't receive healing for migraines. She also had this degenerative eye condition. So her eyesight was getting worse and worse, and she had strong glasses, and they kept getting stronger and stronger. But she went because she'd had these migraines. The doctors couldn't help her. And she went to a meeting where Trevor Deering was ministering. I don't know if any of you have heard of Trevor Deering, really instrumental in the 1970s charismatic movement. And his wife was around about our part. So he'd come up once a month to Stamford and hold these healing meetings. And Mum said, well, I've tried everything else. I'll go along, see what happens. She went along. She encountered the living God. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was soundly converted. She didn't quite know what had hit her, really. But someone gave her a Bible and said, here, read this, the Living Translation she had. She said, wow, this isn't like the Latin stuff that I'm used to. And she read it, and she was reading it avidly, this Bible, for 2 weeks, and then she suddenly realized she wasn't using her glasses. She didn't need glasses for another 30 or 40 years after that. It was a real miracle of healing. And she was baptized by full immersion not long after that. Baptized again, shocking. And that was God really coming into our life. So I began to go to all these Christian camps and so on. Roger Forster was often one of the main speakers at these Christian camps at Easter, and his son, who's coming next week, Kristen, bless him, he was wonderfully healed of cancer in his earlier years. He's got quite a story to tell himself, Kristen. But when I was 4 years old, Mum took me to a Don Double crusade. Hands up, who remembers Don Double? Right, a few around there. So here's an evangelist. He's sort of the English equivalent to Billy Graham, really, back in the day. So this would probably be 1978, I guess. 78, 79, maybe. I'd have gone to Double Crusade, and he appealed in this children's gathering. If you wanted to give your heart to Jesus, come to the front. I don't remember it, but I went to the front and prayed a prayer. Gave my heart to Jesus when I was 4 years old. And it was really serious. You know, I remember some of the prayers I prayed when I was a youngster. I believed, you know, I believed God was there and God was with me. The big image for me in my childhood was the Ready Breck man. Do you remember Ready Breck? And on the front of the packet, there was the little glow of the Ready Breck man. And I think Mum used that one time. She said, Adrian, because I didn't really like going to school when I was really little. Mum said, Adrian, God will be with you. It's like the Ready Breck man. You've always got the glow around you. And I believed it. I believed it. And everywhere I went, you know, if things got tough, I said, thank you, Lord, that you're with me. You know, and I really prayed some good prayers. One time the Sunday school teacher told me that, you know, whatever you ask for, God will give you. It's what Jesus said. And I thought, brilliant. Just got to have faith. Excellent. I went home. I knelt at my bed. I said, Lord, give me a space rocket in the front garden so that when I wake up tomorrow, I can fly to the moon. And I woke up the next morning and I opened the curtains and I looked out my window and there was no space rocket. I was so disappointed. I went back to my Sunday school teacher, said, what are you telling me here? What's the reality? I was very disappointed, and he explained that perhaps it doesn't always work exactly like that. So I learned some lessons when I was a youngster. But then secondary school, I was allowed to stay at home if I wanted to. Mum said, if we haven't won you by now, we never will. So your decision, really. You're growing up. What are you going to do? Well, my older sister stayed at home Sunday mornings. The ice cream van came round on a Sunday morning. There's some good television programs on Channel 4. So do you know what? I decided not to go to church. I stayed at home when I was 11. And all through my secondary school years, really, kind of went my own way, did my own thing. Couldn't really believe if Christianity was, you know, it just didn't quite add up to me. It didn't make sense to me. So I drifted away, really. And it came to a crunch point when I was 17, and my best friend at the time, he and I thought very similarly about the world, and he tried to kill himself. He took 78 paracetamol and locked himself in the bathroom. It was quite a serious attempt. His brother found him, and his stomach was pumped, and he came through. But it just made me think, what's life about? I want to know what life is about. You know, what he and I are thinking similarly. He's got nothing to live for here. What have I got to live for? What is it? So I became a really intense 17-year-old who just wanted to know the answers. And my mum was praying like smoke, I know, at the time. And so I used to ask questions. I read books. Some things I just couldn't get clear in my head. But after a year of really searching, I used to go along to church and turn up late to miss the singing because I didn't like that at the time. Like it now, but I wanted to know what the preacher had to say, and in the end I thought, okay, Jesus is where it's at. And I told you the story, didn't I? On one night in July 1993, I prayed a prayer and said, God, show me everything in my life that's stopping me from knowing you. And he did. It took 2 hours. At the end of that, he filled me with his Holy Spirit and just the warmth and the center of my being. And I was just laughing with relief and joy and reconciled to God, you know, knowing God. It's just wonderful. And then I thought, I need to find out about this God I've encountered and what he is. So I started going to Bible study groups and so on. And then I started learning about this healing. And I talked to Mum about her healing and said, you know, how does that work? You know, this is quite unusual. What goes on here? And we did a little Bible study with a group of us just in those times on healing in the Gospels. And we discovered it was really part of it. And I thought, wow, I want to see some of this happen. I didn't see much of it happen that summer, but I cancelled my place at university in faith. I was going to go to Kingdom Faith, to Roffey Place, which some of you might know. Colin Urquhart started that up. Bob Gordon and others. Bob Gordon planted a church in Norwich, didn't he? So there was that connection. And I met with one or two people from Kingdom Faith. They said, yeah, you can come for a year's place, postpone your place at university. If God gives you the money, £1,100 a term, we'll take that as a sign that you can come. And a friend of my mum's said, Adrian, I feel the Lord wants me to give you £1,100. So I phoned them and said, yeah, excellent. I've cancelled my place at university. I phoned them up. I said, we're coming. And I spoke to someone on the phone. They said, actually, we've talked to Colin, and we feel that it's not right for you to come. I said, but I've got the Lord's provided. What's going on? It was really confusing. Brand new Christian. Didn't quite know what to do. But they were right. It wasn't quite right. But I didn't have a place at university. I didn't know what to do. My life was all up in turmoil. And my mum's had a friend who had a contact up in Scotland. That's how I ended up there. I wrote them a letter and said, this is my situation. Can I do a correspondence course or something in my year out? They said, well, we've got a Bible college here. Come up for an interview. Can you fit in next Tuesday? So I was up to Scotland. Within a week of finding out that this place existed, I was living there. I was there for six and a bit years. So I went through 3 years of Bible college there. And this was a place that had a vision for being a school of soul surgery and healing and deliverance. And it was an amazing place, and I witnessed God do some incredible things. So, yeah, I remember one old guy in his 70s, he was with back pain for many years, pretty much bedridden. And one time he'd kept coming up to conferences because his wife would bring him, really. And after a while, they sort of said, you know, he felt convicted. And someone noticed and said, don't you think it's time you gave your life to the Lord, Jack, or whatever his name was? He said, you know, I think it is. So they prayed with him, they led him to the Lord, and then they prayed for healing. And this 70-year-old guy jumped over an armchair. I kid you not. He was just wonderfully healed. It was great. Just the summer before I went, the guy I studied with in college, he'd had some experience with deliverance ministry and healing ministry, and his mum had also back trouble. For 17 years, she'd been pretty much confined to her bed. And she'd come up in the summer and been prayed with and run up and down four flights of stairs, totally healed with this back trouble. It's wonderful. And so Simon said, I want to go to that college, find out about this. So he was in my year. He's still in touch with him. He's in Switzerland now. I was his best man over there when he got married. But I learned a lot just seeing God do these healings in all sorts of ways. Physical healing. I ran an Alpha course not many years ago. And at the start of the Alpha course, you know, I told this story a little bit about my mum's healing and so on. And there was a nurse, some of you might know her actually, because she was at the practice here, but she was wonderfully saved, by the way, at the end of the Alpha course. Great testimony. Still walking with the Lord. Wonderful. She came with me to Uganda last year. But she said, you know, I'm a nurse, I'm around the medical profession. I'm just not sure about this healing stuff. So this was on the introductory supper. So the whole of the Alpha course, as we were getting closer to the evening on healing, I was getting more and more nervous about what I was going to say and how it would go down. And I thought, well, how many healings have I actually encountered? You know, lots of second-hand, third-hand stories. But first-hand, when I've prayed or I've been with someone as they've prayed and people have been healed, you know, how many times have I experienced that? And I wanted to go prepared, you know. So I was counting up. And I counted up 16, 17, something like that, over the 20 years that I've been a Christian, which, you know, I was disappointed. I thought it'd be more than that. But I don't know. Physical healing, sometimes it seems to work, sometimes it doesn't. And I understand why. It's because it's in the kingdom of God. You know, we're talking about Jesus the King, or singing about that. His kingdom. And his kingdom is come, but it's not fully here. We get tastes of his kingdom, but we don't get the full meal. We get more than a menu. It's not that just Jesus comes and says, this is what it's going to be in the age to come. Freedom from sickness, freedom from sin, Satan's bound, all this, da-da-da-da-da. That's the menu. That's what you've got to look forward to. We do get that, but we get more than that. He says, look, and here's a little bit. Taste that. and it's real food, and we really experience it, and it makes us confident of what's going to be. We don't get the full meal, but we do get a taste. That's the nature of the kingdom of God. And so that's why sometimes we see great things, sometimes we don't. When I was in Uganda, I met a guy who had AIDS and was 6 years free of symptoms and saying, "The Lord has healed me, isn't it wonderful?" And I thought, wow, praise God, that's good. And I traveled with a lady who'd had AIDS for several years. Last time I talked to her, she was still alive. That was 16 years on. Still going, still with AIDS. Quite incredible, really. Two children, young dependent children at the time. And she would travel and she stood up in front of people and she spoke and said, "Hello, I have HIV positive. I'm going to die. I know where I'm going. Do you?" Wow. And the power of her testimony. And I thought, wow, God works in different ways, variety of ways. A few years ago, here over in the Taz Valley, I prayed with two people in the same week, both with terminal cancer, both really on their deathbeds. I mean, you know, really serious. One guy, he had bile duct cancer. He'd had five surgeries. On the fifth surgery, they'd managed to get something through the bile duct, went through the tumour that had grown there. It was quite sizable. So they had managed to get some drainage through these artificial stents. The stents only had a shelf life of 18 months. They'd been installed 6 months ago. He was now yellow with jaundice. Really no hope. Weeks away from the end. The other lady I prayed with, she had stomach cancer and it had spread to lungs and different things. You know, it was really riddled in her body. And they both were at the end and they both got in touch and they said, "James 5, we're sick. We'd like the elders to come and anoint us with oil." Both of them in the same week, I went and anointed them with oil. The guy who had the bile duct cancer, I went to see him a week later. He was up, the jaundice had gone, he just put wallpaper on his wall, he was out mowing the lawn, totally recovered. He went for a scan the next month, the tumour had disappeared. 12 months later, the stent started wearing out, and he had to go up and have some reconstructive surgery in Leeds to rebuild it organically. The world specialist in this type of cancer said, "No one's ever got this far and come through. What's going on here?" He had a great opportunity to testify to the healing power of God. He's still around. He lives living over in Brook, and he was just signed off a few weeks ago. Would you believe? It's wonderful. Great testimony. I'll get him along one time to tell you his story. The other lady I prayed for, she died 2 weeks after I prayed for her. That's a kind of healing. You know, she'd be fully restored with the Lord. It's mysterious. It's the mystery of the kingdom when you pray for physical healing like that, how it works. But if you have that gift of faith, like with Terry, I just knew when we were praying for him, the presence of God was there to heal. It says that about Jesus one time in the Gospels when the crowds are there and the presence of God was there to heal and everyone got healed. Sometimes it works like that. There's just that anointing on that gathering, you know. But other times I've seen some, you know, wonderful things, learnt some things as we've gone along. It's not just about physical healing. Although that's quite sensational, in many ways, it's the stuff that God is least interested in. God is interested in changing our hearts, in preparing us to meet with him, to be really ready, to be really transformed from glory into glory. And so that deep inner healing where God gets to grips with things. What's the prophecy, Isaiah 61, that Jesus proclaims in Luke 4 at the start of his ministry? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, set the prisoner free." Wow, what a ministry. And those things often go together, the broken heart and the release of the prisoners. People's hearts break for all sorts of reasons. Bereavement, betrayal, shock, trauma. But God can do something. You know, when the medical profession and others come, there's all sorts of things. You know, I don't believe it's in, you know, them and us. I think we should be working together, really. And the medical profession, they bring a lot of experience and research and insight, which we need to listen to and work with. There are the drug companies who do some good work to develop drugs and invest in producing things that will help us through drug therapy. It also generates a bill that they have to pay, so they do get a conflict of interest sometimes. There's, you know, money involved in this. You get the complementary therapies, which come in all sorts of shades, some more wholesome than others. But what we bring to the table, this is it. Peter says, what we have, we give. We have the Holy Spirit. He is able to access areas that others can't reach. And when it comes to dealing with trauma, dealing with broken hearts, that's the healing that's really special. I've known a number of war veterans from the Second World War who for decades after the war would have nightmares, and some of them it cost them their marriage, sometimes two or three marriages. And just carrying the brokenheartedness of what they experienced during those times. And I've seen those men, I've seen those men, hard men. They've experienced life that I could only imagine. I don't know what that's like. And I've seen them come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that God can do something to help them. I remember one chap called Arthur. Arthur from the East End. He was a right character. And Arthur came and he would give this and that. But one meeting, he was in tears. And they prayed with Arthur. And the Lord healed his broken heart, really. And all the nightmares and all the trauma and all the difficulty, he was set free. And the next year he came back and Arthur's wife, he said to me, I've got a new husband. He's a totally different Arthur. It's wonderful. Salt of the earth, but they saw. It's always good when someone's partner sees the difference. You know it's really God. There's something changed here. God can heal the brokenhearted, set the prisoner free. And I get really excited when God starts to set the prisoners free. People can be captive in all sorts of ways, but a really big part of Jesus' ministry was dealing with demons. And as you go into this ministry, you find that demons are around. And they're in the book of Revelation, Satan is described as the Lord of the flies. Ever noticed that description? Yeah, and do you know what flies do? They kind of look for the rubbish, don't they? And they're there and they feed on the rubbish. And that's like that. And these demons, that's what they're little flies, really. They're pretty straightforward to deal with, actually. It's always the people that are difficult to deal with. But you know, they look for the rubbish in their lives. They look for the ground where they can get some hold, get some traction. The unforgiveness, the resentment, the different things. And it's working through some of that, often the brokenheartedness, the trauma. And one girl who came for help, she's just 19 years old. She'd had a car crash 2 years before, and she'd spent 2 years confined to a house. She couldn't go out. Diagnosed with, is that claustrophobia? Agoraphobia. Agoraphobia, quite right. She was on some lithium tablets because she was really low with depression and this sort of thing. And her mum brought her along, and they spent, the pastors there spent 20 minutes with her, talked through, really straightforward case. This girl had had a real trauma with this car accident, and the trauma had opened the way for this spirit of fear to come and trouble her. And they prayed with her for 20 minutes. They revoked the shock of that car accident. She relived the car accident. It's really interesting. It often happens like that when the shock comes out. She relived the car accident, and she was shouting, "Mummy, mummy, mummy," like this. Just thought she'd done. And the Lord freed her through that reliving of the moment. It's quite incredible how God does that. And they cast out the spirit of fear. It was only on that little bit of ground, and the ground was sorted so straightforwardly. It was gone. And she was totally transformed. And that's lasted. And they kept in touch. Really simple. But 2 years of her life, trapped away. And what if she hadn't have had that 20 minutes of ministry? What? There are certain things that we have through the Holy Spirit and through his ministry that people can't find in other places. If it is deliverance ministry and that sort of thing that people need, then nothing else quite does the job. And they counselled her to continue with her medication. She decided to ignore that counsel and threw her lithium tablets away, but her lithium levels went back up. It's quite a common one, really, lithium. There seems to be something in that. But, when there's those sort of troubles, the lithium seems to deplete. How these sort of things relate, the spiritual and the physical, they do in many ways. They really do. We're holistic creatures. But there are gifts of healings in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Jesus. Jesus is the king. So he has authority over all things, over sickness, over Satan, even over death. Yeah, isn't that good? We don't get the full meal. Sometimes I wish we did. It would make things easier pastorally, you know. But I don't expect it. Our part is to pray in faith, and it's God's part to do what he will. And we get a taste. And the taste assures us of the full meal to come. So that's just some snippets, really, from my own journey, my own sort of grapplings with these areas. Some food for thought, maybe. There's lots more to say. Lots more stories I could tell you. But I think we probably should leave it there for tonight. Let's have some time to receive from the Lord. We have a God who can do great things, who really can heal physically, emotionally, spiritually, vocationally, holistically. We have a healing God who comes with gifts of healings. We have the Holy Spirit. We have resources available that no one else has. We have something to offer, something to receive. Freely you've received, freely give. It starts with receiving, and then we're inspired and motivated to give. Let's just pray. Shall we do that? So, Father God, thank you for all that you've done in history. Thank you for all the ways you've gone before, and help us to learn more of you, to experience more of you, to encounter you more deeply, more truly, more fully, so that we're really equipped and inspired to share you with a world in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a couple of things perhaps to encourage you. I love it when somebody speaks a scripture which you've already had, and it just sort of confirms something in your heart. But I also love it when it happens four times. I didn't read it out earlier on because God said, don't bother to read that. 1 Corinthians 2, yeah. Acts 3, that's twice. Okay. The other one was the word rockets. You prayed for a rocket earlier on. This was a couple of days ago when I was praying about this. And I said, and I just wrote down here, if that's the case, then we use them. And that's the gifts in 1 Corinthians 2. By faith, we expect them to work. Okay. And this is what I've written. We can buy a rocket. We can light the fuse, but we have to exercise faith in that it will do what we've bought it to do, i.e. go up in the air and go bang. Okay, not actually going to the moon. But it's close. Close enough. And earlier on, I think the last, my wife's parting words to me as she came down here earlier on was, don't go to sleep. Because I was I was sitting in the chair and I was just sort of saying, oh, Lord, just, you know, just have a little chat with me here because I haven't really sort of prepared anything greatly for this evening. And I feel quite bad about it sometimes that I haven't rushed off and read a book and coming up with sort of saying, have you read this book because it says about this? Or have some sort of poem or something to offer. And I think I said that earlier on. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. Chill. Go to sleep if you want. I didn't, but, you know. And here we've got Terry with the words from that poem. You know, I was nearly a mess, okay? So you've got another one. Could I ask you to just come up and share that? Because it's a goodie. Lovely.
I'm looking forward to when I feel so well again. Totally restored and healed, so free from angst and pain. I am full of anticipation because my Lord is at work at me. I'm full of anticipation because my Lord's at work in me, removing all that hinders my miraculous recovery. I'm part way through this process, advancing towards that goal. So assured of the victory, when once again I'll be made whole. By my Father God who created me, and my Saviour who loves me so, by their Spirit's power within me, I'll be fully healed. This I know.
Wow. Sorry. Right. Okay. Now, as we normally do, ministry team will be around. If the ministry team also need prayer, that's not a problem. And if the worship group, as they play, would like to come for prayer as well, by all means, do. We have a couple at the front, a couple at the back. It's all good. Right, so thank you. Sorry, David. Two other things. While we were praying in the tower before the service, we had a couple of words, which I've lost. That was living water. I'm not sure if that was for sharing. Was it Vivian? Yeah. Living water, streams of water, rivulets, sort of breaking down. So if you've got something that you feel is sort of appropriate to rivulets, if you want to just sort of splash a hot face in a rivulet, then get some prayer. And I just had something very basic, nasal congestion. So I think it's sort of in the head, in the back of, you know, around here somewhere. I didn't have it myself, but I just felt that's what the Lord was saying for me. To give out. And last time I didn't say it and some time ago, this is going back probably 18 months ago, I had a word given to me in the tower and I didn't share it, and I came out and a person came up and said, actually I've got this particular problem, and it was a men's problem. And I sort of went, cool, that was, you know. I've just got sort of waterworks